Hi, Brigitte. Hi, Wyman.
Hi.
I see we have Beth on the call. Hi, Beth.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and reminding me because, you know, it's sometimes I would have forgotten completely. I appreciate the reminder. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I think we have Evelina as well. Hi, Evelina.
Hello, Femke.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Yep, doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think a couple more people will be joining us, but let's already start with some questions. Any questions that you may have about a client or about the system?
It's me, Birgitta. I have a question about a client.
Okay, great.
Yes, I have this old lady, the pensionist, that I had her four sessions last spring. And after that, she got retired from the university. And now she has come back because of her identity after retirement.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, so she's 78 years old, old lady, but she has worked until this summer as a professor. And she has always been doing research and writing research reports and books and teaching. And she feels like a teacher and a research scientist. That's her identity.
Okay.
And then now the problem is, okay, who is she now?
Mm-hmm.
And she says that she has always respected herself for what she has done, like conflicting human being, human doing. She's very aware of that, but she doesn't believe she can change that. She doesn't even want to try, she says.
Okay.
And she, in a way, what she wants now, she believes, is that she wants to do like some research for her own sake, just to read books about life quality and how to master when you get old and get different kind of health problems, perhaps, and friends that die and so on, to tackle, master life as an old lady.
Okay.
And her problem is that she's like only doing it for herself, and she wants to do things that's of value for others. And we have been it's like a troubling concept for her. She wants to read books and make notes and like write something that can be valuable for herself to learn from how to master life.
Mm-hmm.
And she has never done and that is like more a process than a person because she don't know what will be the result of this project that she's doing.
Right.
And the worst thing she can think of is, imagine there will be no result. I don't find out anything. And it will be of no value for others. And just to enjoy the process of doing this just for her own sake.
Mm. But so for her, it sounds like it's a value to contribute.
Yes, it's a value to contribute. And this is also very external referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants others to appreciate what she has performed. And okay. Now she don't know if there will be some other to appreciate what she does. And this is a problem for her. And I have, so what I have identified that this is probably a troubling concept for her to do something that is, she will not know the result of it, but it's just a project she's doing for herself and to give herself permission to do this.
Yeah, and, that
and enjoy it while she's doing it, then that's hard for her.
And what is your question, Birgitta?
Yeah, that is because that is, should I perhaps have started earlier with her identity as a researcher and a teacher to research if she wants. She seems to be very stuck in that identity, and mm-hmm. she doesn't want to change it. And she, and also that she believes that.
So what specifically does she not want to change, Birgitta?
Like that her identity is a researcher, especially, and a teacher, that she wants to do research and teach others, give something valuable to others.
Okay. How is that a problem? The fact that she sees herself as a teacher and a researcher, because just because she stops working doesn't mean that necessarily has to be a problem.
No, but for her, it's a because she knows she likes to do this research for herself about life quality, and she doesn't know yet if it could be of value for others, if she could teach anybody else what she has learned. So for her, it's a risky project.
Right. Yeah, so it sounds like that is more the issue.
Yes.
Than the identity, than the, you know, that being part of her identity.
Yeah. Yeah, because then we are like on the right track to give herself permission to perform this risky project then.
Right, exactly. And you know, and what is the yeah, so I'm curious, let's say that she does that with the intention to teach and with the intention to research so that it can be of value to others, but she finds out that it's actually not valuable.
I don't know what she is afraid of.
What meaning does she give that makes her afraid of that?
Yeah. And that, then she comes back to that if she doesn't like produce something that is of value for others, she is not worthy.
Okay.
So that is
a belief she has. So then comes.
And then we were discussing this with human being and human doing, and yes.
Yeah.
And so she then, doesn't believe she can change that.
Okay, so that's a belief.
Yes, that's a belief.
As well.
Yes, she has been
doing first, you need to get her to want to change it.
Yeah, and I don't know if she wants to change it.
Well... That also depends on the kind of questions that you ask.
Oh, yeah.
So, because right now she's in a situation where she is retired, where she wants to do something, but she's holding herself back from doing it because of a fear of what might happen.
Yes, exactly right.
And so putting it to her that way and... You know, like, how long does she want to stay in this fear?
Yes.
Do you want to change this fear? Okay. So, like, first you need to kind of get that buy-in and get that energy.
Yeah, because I think she wants to change this fear. Yes.
Right. So then you can link it to... to the what you actually need to work on.
Yes.
So that she's open for that.
Yes, so imagine that it's not a value for others, but perhaps for yourself, or not even because
for
yourself.
Because how does she know? Like, it's in a way same pattern, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't want to research because she doesn't know the end result. And she here she is also concluding what is going to happen. That she won't be able to change it.
Yeah, yes.
It's the same fear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Same type of thinking. So you might need to point that out to her.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, I believe so. I think really when you say, do you want to change this fear? I think that's the good way to start now with her.
Yeah, I mean, she can wait another 5 years.
Yeah, but then her age will be 83.
Yeah, I mean, and you need to point that out.
Yes.
Because it's a like a waste of time.
Yes, and that's what she knows, that if she does this and it doesn't result in anything, it's a waste of time. So that she has already discussed, but if it results in something, it's not a waste of time, so.
Well, and I'm talking about like not doing and procrastinating. Yeah. So you can use her energy and create some different insights. So you really have to do that phase four and get that motivational energy.
Yeah. And I mean, she probably has done that before. I mean, when she was young and started as a researcher. So she probably has reference experiences from doing things.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
So I think she has some good reference experiences.
Right.
Long way back. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So but it's interesting because now I really got client in the right clientele then. So I hope I can get more ladies like her at least.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
More old professors. Yes. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, any other questions? And you can just unmute yourself if you have a question.
I have just a comment, just an experience from my last coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I asked a little bit last time where to go further, and it depends, you said, so I prepared for everything.
Yeah.
And I prepared especially for the doing the timeline with my coachee, going back to the reference experience, but was also prepared to do self-esteem or different swish I prepared and all the things. And then we came to the coaching session, and I asked what was the most important thing to work on today.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just a total different topic that were kind of it was kind of okay. So then I just had to trash all my preparations and just go with her, and then so I thank God for the quantum leap method and doing the strategy. And she was really, really happy after the coaching session. I was really frustrated, and I challenged her a lot on the new topic. And just, I realized I'm not able to do any of the exercises at all. So I just kind of tried to confront her and reflect back to her all the things. And then, so I think it was really unstructured and was not very happy. But the feedback after the session was kind of, wow, you helped me so much. So, well, another experience.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. But so one thing, how was that topic that she brought up related to the overall outcome?
The outcome we worked on last time was kind of being able to speak up together with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now it was about she were about to go on a little 4-day vacation, but two of her friends had withdrawn, so it was just one left, and she was kind of, am I really going to waste time, and it's so much to do back home. And then we went back to a human doing human being. She was most valuable while she was doing thing. And okay, are you doing your pattern right now that you don't want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And then she, okay, maybe I need to practice not doing things every moment in my life. Maybe I should just go and have a good time and don't, yeah. So she just, it was another topic that she realized that, changed her motivation to go on that little vacation. So, well.
Yeah, and that can happen. I just usually, like, there's an overall outcome that you're aiming to achieve.
Yeah.
And if that's a pattern of hers that you notice that next time she's going to come with something completely different again.
Yeah.
She's not going to get results.
No.
Because the jumping from one thing to the next, it's kind of like optionitis.
Yeah.
And not being able to stick with one thing.
Mm.
It's a very key part of getting results for yourself.
Yeah.
So that might be something that she needs to work on then.
Absolutely. It was just not possible to get her back on the topic that was agreed for at all, because she was so occupied in her mind of this thing coming the next day.
Right. And so that preoccupation and that leading her is also an interesting sign. So just a few things to pay attention to.
Absolutely. So much to learn.
So, and you're learning to let go of control.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I like it. Okay, any other questions?
I have a question, Femke.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if we don't have to do today if the plan is to coach, but I just have a request to, if you can go through the pattern owning your own authority at one supervision call.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we can do that today.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, for sure. And then Beth?
Yeah, I did have a quick question maybe. Hopefully it's a quick question. And so we can ask about a client. So I'm working with people that are, you know, toxically abused, trying to get out of, you know, that spinning in their head. And
mm-hmm.
you know, so she wants to disattach. She ended the relationship, but she still is feeling, you know, attached to this person. And I had a session with her, and we went through, you know, she felt like she was getting pulled back in. So we went through kind of separating the relationship and the person, and we figured out, you know, that she was more attached to the relationship than she was to the person. And so, and then she was, you know, taking responsibility for, she was feeling sorry for him and taking kind of responsibility for him. And so he, you know, kind of plays the victim to get her back. And right. So, I did, you know, like responsibility for others, like, you know, owning your own authority also, and everybody else owns their own authority. And I forget what that's called right now. that process.
The ownership.
The ownership. Okay.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it went really well, and she and I followed up with her, and we had, you know, another coaching session. She canceled the next week, and she's been canceling now for 3 weeks in a row. And I reached out to her a couple of times, like, how are you? And she's like, you know, she was feeling bizarre. Like, it, you know, it was, I think, I don't know if she got freaked out or, if, you know, it's been 3 weeks yesterday that we had this session with her. She got everything she wanted. So she's not feeling pulled by this person anymore. She's not feeling sorry for him. And she's like, oh no, you know, I'm done. I'm fine. From the initial call, she wanted to, you know, not feel guilty and not feel tied to this person and not want to go back to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, feel like, you know, her again. She was just feeling really off. She spent, I think, the next week kind of, she said that she felt like she was having already, I knew that she was having all that head trash in her head, the movies playing in her head. And we had talked about that too, but we were going to get to kind of trying to make sure that those turned off next time.
Yeah.
And she said that she was, you know, really obsessing about him, but she was doing that before. She was obsessing about him, and she was not sleeping well, and she was having anxiety, but now she's better. And so she doesn't want to go to coaching. She's like pulled away from coaching because she thinks that the coaching made her worse, mm-hmm. but it actually gave her all the results that she wanted. So I'm a little bit, I don't know what to think.
So here's just my intuition, mm-hmm. is that something else came up for her that was uncovered, by the work that you did, that might've made her anxious or made her more, so we have all these mechanisms in place, right? Mm-hmm. Coping mechanisms, that we have so that we don't have to feel, I don't know, like a fear of abandonment.
Right.
And I think that's what comes up. Like, once you start kind of taking responsibility for your life and you can't hold on to someone else anymore. That brings up a whole lot of shit.
Yeah. Well, and I suggested that, in fact, because I was like, well, you know, it could bring up a lot. She's like, no. I was obsessing about him. I mean, and she's like, she doesn't even want to talk. I was like, well, let's have a conversation on the phone and let, you know, like, kind of not to coach her, like, not to coach you, just to ask you, you know, what's going on. And she's like, you know, like, oh no. She like totally freaked out. So I think, you know, I that was my instinct too, that something else came up. But she refused to acknowledge that. And okay, that's, you know, up to her. And then my question, if that's what you think it is, how do I avoid that in the future?
How many sessions did you have before?
I had an initial session just to talk her. I mean, just to go through like the kind of like a sales call. And I went through, you know, pretty much to get her information, where she was and where she wanted to go. And then I just had one coaching call with her. One.
Okay. Okay. So here's the thing. You might have started to coach her too soon.
Okay.
So, the way that I usually do it is like I spend like at least like 1-2 sometimes sessions,
uh-huh.
really digging deep so that I can find where the leverage point is. Now, that's not to say that I always get to where the leverage point is in the beginning, but spending some more time with her before you do any change work, that might lead you also to find out like, oh, there's like a fear of abandonment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And did you do the testing with her? Let's say that we change this. Would that allow you to be in your desired state?
It was 3 weeks ago. I feel like I should have, but I can't say for sure.
Right. Yeah, so I would really take like several situations and get the strategy process so that you can start to see a pattern. If you notice, and you know, like that's where being an expert in what you do comes in. If you notice like, oh, I haven't heard her talk at all about fear of being alone, even though that comes up like 99% of the time, let's go there. Let me just ask a few questions around that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would happen if you like, because ultimately like what, and this is also something that sometimes your client is just going to be a bit too overly optimistic about what's going to happen.
Okay.
And so they'll be like, oh yeah, like I only have to do this and then everything's going to be great. And they don't really put themselves in a position where they, like in your case, where they're separate from the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to feel like a relief because that's everything that they feel like, or that, you know, that's what they want. And so they don't go to a place where, okay, so, but now you're going to be alone for a while by yourself.
Okay.
You know, so you need to lead them into what's going to happen after that and face that reality. So that might help you as well to, to kind of like avoid that.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't want to hijack the whole thing, but I'm like, okay, so that they are alone already.
Yes, but they still have all the, like, they're still preoccupied with this person, right? And that feels shitty, but at the same time, they're holding on to something.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when they don't have something to hold on to anymore? Then they're really faced with themselves.
Okay. Yeah, so fear of being alone and fear of the abandonment. Fear of not being able to take care of themselves. Those are the kind of things that maybe need to go, we need to work on first before we disattach to the person itself.
Right. Yeah. So you need to go to those higher level,
feeling that they're not good enough for anybody else, like those kind of things.
Exactly. Because those are going to be, like all the rest are symptoms, but like hooking on to someone is a symptom of something that is at a deeper level. And in a way, it's like a coping mechanism. It's a way to avoid having to feel like those core issues.
Okay.
And that's just like what you can do to kind of minimize that. But you can't always avoid it because she might just not be resilient enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that too, you don't always know that beforehand.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I need to, you know, really get into these other things before start making any kind of superficial changes.
Right.
That's what they all want, right? Is to stop feeling that way. But
yes. Yeah. But that's very tricky because that's not where the problem is. And so if you start coaching too soon, either you help them with coping strategies, which means that they haven't created a paradigm shift for themselves, or they like run into something bigger later on.
Okay. Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, it helps. Thank you.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I think it was a very, very valuable question for everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you.
Okay. So owning your own authority, like that process has come up, and it will come up for a lot of people because they, when there's like an external source that in your mind is an authority, or that you have given your authority to, and they say something like, does it, does it shake you up? Like, do you start doubting yourself, or can you stay in your own truth? So Mariam, I'm curious, what is your question about it? And you have to unmute yourself. I can't unmute you.
You sent us the pattern a couple of calls ago, and I've read through it. And I think also you have coached me a little bit on the pattern. I remember that. So I guess it's just, it would be useful to just kind of to see you go through it with someone, maybe, or seeing it in like live or hearing it. Because it's, I think it's a useful pattern, as you say. And when we were talking a couple of calls ago about the a common structure of a coaching process with the ownership of powers, and then separate yourself from the powers, and then the self-esteeming, and then owning the authority. It's just so what good to have different patterns to kind of like, because the external referencing is so common.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is very common. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would just be nice to have another tool that I felt a little more safe about, and I would feel more secure about it when I kind of see a demo on it.
Okay. So my thinking is that I can do that as a guided visualization for everyone. Mm. Because then you get to go through the process, you can listen back to it, and you can feel it as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and I'm gonna assume, and I think it's safe to assume, that all of us have a situation. You know, this doesn't have to be. This can be very situational, like or related to just one person. So Mariam, I'm just going to mute you and we'll go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
It can be like one person, like your mother or like your dad, or, if it's your boss or something. For other people, like it's just whenever someone you like says something, and then it's like when you have an opinion, but they have an opposite opinion. You have that sense of like, it just feels like your choice is being taken away. And your decision of what is right and what is wrong, like you lose that sense of, I would call it intuition, that you have inside of yourself where you are the authority. So I'll give you a personal example where I've really had to build this up, because we decided to not vaccinate our son. And there are a lot of opinions around like that have nothing to do really with facts or anything on both sides, and it's really difficult to make that decision. And so I started noticing that I was looking outside of myself, like literally, like around me, for like, what should I do? What should I do? Rather than check in with myself. And so you might have a situation like that as well. Maybe that really goes against the grain of what other people are doing. Another like really great example where, like, just to give you a contrast, another great example is the topic of circumcision, because we had to make that for our son. And that I felt really strongly inside myself. Like, I had no doubts whatsoever that we weren't going to do that. And I really felt that authority inside myself. And it's super empowering, because it just, like, nothing can waver me from that. Nothing can take that, can start me doubt myself. Doesn't mean that I'm not open to feedback or getting information. But that, like, is the contrast that we're looking for. Sigma?
Yeah, what was the last example? I just didn't understand the word very well.
Here in the US, they snip the penis, like the foreskin of the penis of little boys, like when they're just born. And it's like, that's called circumcision. And it's just like a very common thing here in the US. And so because I was going to deliver in the hospital, that's a decision that we had to make. Well, I did. It was so easy for me because I really felt that, like, right in my chest. The other situation, it took me a long time to feel that. And still sometimes it kind of wavers when we have to go to the doctor and you get people, like, they get a little bit, I would say even a little bit mean. But that's where I would waver, and it creates doubt, and it's, you don't, like, really feel that inside your body. So that's something that we're looking for. Like, I want you to think personally of something, like, or a situation where someone has spoken to you or said something to you, shared their opinion, and it took your sense of choice away from you. Or when if you referred to a set of rules that was outside of yourself, maybe to a person or a situation, or even just some cultural rules. And in retrospect, like, looking back, it was not good for you. And you kind of knew it at the time, but that voice was drowned out by what the other person said or what the rules were, things like that. So I'd like you to pick something, a situation where you had that. And if you don't have something yet, just open your mic and we can have a little conversation about it.
I don't have an example, but could it be also when you feel another person having a big authority that you aren't afraid to speak up with that person?
Yeah, I mean, that's... So if, when you are afraid to speak up, like, what is stopping you from speaking up?
Yeah. So that's okay as an example.
Well, I'm curious. I want to know, like, do you start kind of like thinking they're right, or are you afraid to stick with your actions and your your opinion?
I guess I am more afraid of, I don't want to argue, I will lose the discussion anyway. So it's better to stay quiet and just speak up and just go home and decide for myself.
Okay. So at that point, it sounds like you still have that inner authority. You're just not sharing that.
Yeah.
So where is a situation where someone can say something to you and you start doubting? Or you listen to a set of rules or go with the situation, even though, like, looking back, it wasn't good for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So as you think about this person or this event or the situation or this set of rules, where in your mental space have you placed that? So I want you to imagine, like, the space around you. And when you think about the event or the person or the set of rules, where do you locate that? Like, if you were to point to it, where is it? And I'd like you to start noticing, like, the different qualities, like, how close is it to you? And what is the size in comparison to you? What is the, like, what are the colors? What is the quality of the voice? Is there a specific intonation with which it is being said that makes you kind of doubt yourself and lose your choice because your authority is outside? So how do you represent authority or control? And then how do you respond to that inside of yourself? Do you respond to that with fear or doubt? Maybe feeling inferior? And representing it in this way and feeling, responding to the authority in this way, is it useful for you? Does it enhance your life? Do you want this way of representing authority and feeling about authority? Do you want this way of doing that to drive your life? And I want you to start thinking what it would be like if you brought that authority inside. So I'd like you to imagine wherever that you've placed that authority, to grab hold of it and ask yourself, where do you want to put it in your body? And your body will let you know. So is it in your mind or in your chest? Is it around your head? In your stomach? Where would you like to put it? And as you bring that in, how does the sound, how does the voice change? How does the sound of it change? What does it need to sound like to serve you at your best so that you can be the author of your own life? And how would you like to make that even better and more compelling? What would allow you to take information in? Like to still be open for suggestions and the opinions of others. But hold strong as being the author of your own life. Do you perhaps need to add openness or curiosity to it? Or a sense of this is mine? And safety? So as you hold this authority within yourself, I want you to think of experiencing external authority. But now you have your own authority inside yourself. How does that shift things for you? And how does that, how do you respond to that internal authority? How do you feel about it? Where do you start feeling differently in your body? And what new understandings can you have about this authority inside of yourself that makes it feel natural, constant? Safe? And I'd like you to imagine moving out into the world tomorrow, next week, next month. But now you have this authority inside of yourself. How will you respond differently to the opinions of others, especially when they are spoken by someone in authority or that you previously gave authority to. Now you have this with you. Does this serve you well? And does it enhance your life? Does it feel empowering to you as a person that you are creating your own authority inside of yourself? Are there any objections that you still need to address? And what refinements would you like to make in answer to that? What other resources would you like to bring in to make that even stronger? And are you ready to let this be the driver of your life? This way of being in the world, owning your own authority. And then what is the first thing that you're going to do to make this a reality in your life? So I'm curious what that was like for you. I'll start with Mariam.
it's powerful. I actually used the same example as we worked on in the coaching session. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's fascinating. It's a body experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And were there any objections that you found that came up?
No, actually not.
Okay.
And it might be also because I, with this person that I've already kind of like moved in the right direction for some time. Mm-hmm. It's making it stronger.
Okay. Yeah.
Hold on for a second. Martina, un momentit. My daughter just came in.
Oh, yeah. I know what that's like.
Yeah. it's also very, I'll go back and listen to it afterwards. It's a useful way of doing it, you know, as a guided visualization.
Yeah, you know, I would suggest for everyone to make guided visualizations for your clients, because then they can listen to it several times. You know, like you can take them through it during a coaching session, but then you can give that as homework that they have to listen to it several times, because that's what really creates a shift in neurology. Okay, so was it useful for you, Marianne?
Yeah, very useful.
Good.
And I also have very good experience with the, because I've done that, like you said, that with power stones and self, the metastating self, my clients, and it's such a great homework to give, you know.
Yeah.
Then they really get a deeper understanding of the exercise when they're listening to it over and over again.
Exactly, and it also gives you an idea of like, are they doing that? Yeah. Or are they refusing to do that? And do we need to kind of dive deeper into that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you.
Any other people who would like to share, or do you have questions? Did you get stuck somewhere that we need to troubleshoot?
Femke?
Yeah.
I felt really a lot of resistance doing it.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if it's because I understood it right, or I choose a person that had several meetings at the work with and had made me feel like empowered, and one time she also started to, or I started to cry, it was a big thing for me, so I might not have worked with that, or I don't know why the reason why it was so. I felt really resistant as I was going to put her inside of me, you know, or
okay.
Yeah. And then I felt I don't want to do it because she's just mean.
Right.
And, yeah.
And so how, like, so you see this person,
mm-hmm.
How do you represent authority in relation to her? Like, where have you placed her in your mind?
Yeah. Pretty close to me, and she's big and black and or white and black, yeah. Mm.
Okay. And so I'd like you to imagine then, you know, rather than taking her inside of you,
yeah.
To take that part of the authority, okay. That you have given away.
Okay.
So that might be that you're linked to her,
mm-hmm.
And you just like need to unhook and bring that inside.
Yeah. So what actually I'm bringing inside
is the authority.
Yeah.
So it might be, yeah. So you might distinguish that she is like, that she behaves in a certain way,
mm.
And she says things in a certain way.
Mm.
but without giving her authority, that wouldn't matter. It would not, like it.
No, so, okay, then I understand. Yeah.
So it's about how you have given and represented that authority.
Yeah, okay, then I understand.
Take it back.
Then I think it will be easier, but because I took
Oliver in.
Yeah. And that was not a good experience.
No. So. I probably could have been clearer in that, in my distinction around that as yeah, well. Go on, Marianne.
Yeah, and then I was wondering how could you say that? Like, that's just in the that moment where, how would you phrase that?
In the moment with my client, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, if that, let's say that came up, oh no, like oh, I feel such an object, like if Evelyn said that in the coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So probably, could you just say it like you did now, just and then you could ask her about...
I would say something like, you know, like I want you to take out all of the authority that you've put inside of her, and I want you to take all of that out so that just becomes a ghost or like empty shell. And you're not actually taking the person in, you're just taking back your authority. Mm. Because it was yours to begin with.
Right.
Something like that. The other person can't have authority unless you give it to them.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Evelina.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Any other questions?
If nobody has a question, I'm going to ask. I'm going to jump in one more time.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, you know, of also of my clients, right? Owning your own authority, that could may possibly be something, you know, that they could work on at the beginning to start to find their own voice without having to go all the way backward into like something that's less traumatic maybe than, oh, I don't know. What do you think?
Then immediately with their
like disconnecting
partner,
them.
Ex-partner.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess is that is like later comes later on.
The disconnection.
Your clients are that's just like a, you know, like a guess. But I'm thinking that your clients would not be able to take on responsibility so much just yet.
Okay, the authority or responsibility? No, okay.
Yeah, I would say that they need to probably work with like the shame and the self-esteeming and start mm-hmm. building that up and the fear of abandonment. My guess is that those would be more like where the change power is. And okay. then they're ready to bring in some other distinctions.
Okay. Like this process and, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So this process, I would do that later. I don't think right now they're in a place that they're even able to do this.
Okay.
It wouldn't hold. What's that?
I said thank you for your input.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. Sigma?
I just want to say that it was really effective way of doing it. So thank you.
Oh nice. It's
a great experience for me.
Good.
Thank you.
That's good to hear. Okay, perfect, ladies. All right, well, I'm going to put the recording up online so that you can listen back to it. I also wanted to share that I've got two openings for my mentoring program coming up. So what we do is with some of you have already done that, but what we do is I guide you through an entire coaching program with your client, and I'm live on the call with you. And that, like, I'm basically going to listen in on like where are the leverage points for your client, where's the change power for your client, and I help you identify those, and then what to do to shift them. And I listen, I don't just give you feedback, but I also listen to your inner game, what might be holding you back from being able to do a certain skill that's necessary, like confronting or mismatching, asking really specific questions. So, because a lot of the time your inner game plays a role in that as well. So if you want to, if you're interested in that, just drop me an email and we'll get on a call and see if that is a fit for you or not. But I do have two openings for that right now. Okay, ladies, thank you so much. 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be in the Netherlands, so we need to skip the next call, but we'll be back 2 weeks after that again. Meantime, if you have any questions, just drop me an email. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. All right, have a wonderful evening or day, wherever you are in the world, and we will speak again soon. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.